بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, my brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is a pleasure to be here, mashallah. I never imagined coming here and giving a lecture in a sort of setup like this. And subhanAllah, it's really nice to come to the inside of these sort of buildings, these corporate buildings. Usually when I give lectures, it's either in a masjid, in an auditorium, in a lecture theater, at a university, you know, places like that, Islamic organizations. And subhanAllah, it's really nice to see that, you know, brothers and sisters can gather and pray, and you have a nice big prayer area. MashaAllah, this is good. And this is, as we say, Malaysia boleh, right? MashaAllah. You'd never see this in North America, mashallah. I'm from Canada, and this is something really interesting for me to see. This is, you know, I'm going to get to the point. This is the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And, you know, we gathered, as far as I know, you gather every single day or throughout the entire year. There's gatherings and lectures taking place for you to benefit from. But during the month of Ramadan, you've had a series of lectures, and from what I understand, this is the first time that it is delivered in English, or one of the few times that it has been delivered in English. And subhanAllah, this is something which is really great and really beautiful, that people from all over the world can come together, and this is one of the signs of Ramadan. That Ramadan itself, not only does it pull us into a strategic sort of lifestyle where we categorize the things that we do, where we eat certain things and we eat at certain times of the day and we pray additional prayers and we read additional amounts of Quran, we also are united as an ummah. When we come together in the masjid, when we come together for iftar, when we come together for taraweeh, we come together and we're united all together. And this is a sign of Islam. This is a sign of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we are united. And it doesn't matter where we come from, it doesn't matter what we do. We are Muslimin, and we come together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we are amongst the last 10 nights of Ramadan. In fact, it began last night already. And for those of us that missed out on last night, it is very possible that we missed out on Laylatul Qadr. And this is why, alhamdulillah, I chose this topic to discuss today, because the beginning of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, yes, one night has passed, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best if we can still catch Laylatul Qadr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dedicated an entire surah in the Qur'an for the night of Laylatul Qadr. The night where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down? What did He reveal during the night of Laylatul Qadr? He revealed the Qur'an. The Qur'an that we read throughout the entire month of Ramadan, you know, we each and every one of us try to finish it at least once. This Qur'an was revealed from Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz to the lowest heavens from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night of Laylatul Qadr. A lot of people wonder, what does it mean? The Quran was revealed in Laylatul Qadr. When the Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over a span of 23 years. So how was it revealed in Laylatul Qadr? What's meant here is that the Quran came down from Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the pen to write, and to allow the Quran to come down during that night from what is known as Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah, which is found in the lowest level, or the lowest heaven, you could say. The lowest level of the skies. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the angels to bring it down. Now from Bayt al-Izzah, from this level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel Jibreel, to reveal the Qur'an bit by bit, piece by piece, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which took place throughout his life of 23 years as a prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this surah, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr." A question: what do you think laylatul qadr is? What is it? What is so special about it? Why do we even single out a specific night throughout the entire year? One night is singled out and an entire surah is dedicated to it. Why? Why is this so? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us this question so that we can ask ourselves, yeah, why? Why is it that there's a surah? Why is it that there's a night that is revealed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave such importance to? So we now ask ourselves, what is it that is so special about Laylatul Qadr? Why do we have this night of decree? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Now most of you are working with either Maybank or Etika, you know, or Etika is under Maybank anyways, so you guys are good with dealing with numbers. You're good with crunching numbers, as we say in the West. You can crunch numbers really easy. لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this night is better than 1,000 months. Better than 1,000 months. Not equal to 1,000 months. Better than 1,000 months. So what is 1,000 months in years? Can anyone tell us? 83 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is better than 83 years. Not equal to 83 years. Better than that. Now you ask yourself, have you singled out one night from amongst the last 10 nights of Ramadan to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that on the day of judgment you come and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your book is given to you, and this book contains everything that you did for 83 years worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you wonder, where did this come from? Why is there 83 years worth of accountability in this book showing that I worshiped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How is that possible? And the fact is, you dedicated your time during the month of Ramadan, throughout the last 10 nights of Ramadan, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You left your family, or you took your family to the masjid, or you stood throughout the night with your family in your own house, and you read Quran together, and you recited Quran as a group, you could say. So for example, you took turns reciting Quran, or as the husband, you stand with your family, with your wife, with your daughters, with your sons standing behind you. You take the mushaf and you read the Quran while leading them in Qiyamul Layl. This is something which is absolutely beautiful. On the day of judgment, when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're given your book of deeds in your right hand, you're shocked. You lived a life where you thought you were just, you know, doing nonsense, and you thought, you know, I'm going to reach 60 years old, 70 years old, I'm going to start practicing Islam, I'm going to get more serious. But subhanAllah, you passed away before that. And on the day of judgment, you realize, oh, what did I do? What did I do? You come before Allah and you're scared. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you stand before Him, your book is given to you in your right hand. And you start to go through it. You wonder, why was it given to me in my right hand? And then you realize that you caught Laylatul Qadr. Ibn Jarir narrates on the authority of Mujahid, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to this night being better than 1,000 months. What does it mean? Better than 1,000 months? The companions, they used to wonder, how? Like 1,000 months of doing what? 1,000 months of fasting? 1,000 months of giving charity? 1,000 months of dedicating myself away from family and seclusion in worshiping Allah, what is it? What is this 1,000 months? What is it equivalent to? So Mujahid, he mentions that there's a man from Bani Israel who dedicated his time during the day with his sword in his hand, meaning that he was constantly busy fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Constantly busy with his sword, fighting and spending his time and his energy during the day, sacrificing himself for the most severe thing that you could think of. Now imagine each and every one of us, we see on the news all day long, you know, we get text messages, tweets, we go on Facebook, we see things about Syria, Palestine, you know, people in Gaza, people in Pakistan, people in Bangladesh, people in many countries around the world are suffering. And today the most thing that people are following is Syria. What is happening in Syria? And we see children who are being killed. We see people who are being slaughtered day and night. You know, subhanAllah, it really touches our heart. One thing that happened to me a few days ago on Friday night, I was in cold storage, grocery store, with my wife and my daughter. And subhanAllah, my daughter, she ran towards me and she tripped and she hit her head on the bottom of the trolley. Really hard. And I heard that boom! Her head smashed against it. And I thought, subhanAllah, she's dead. She's 2.5 years old and the way that she hit that trolley, I thought she was dead. I picked her up and she had a big cut on her forehead, right? A really deep cut. I could see her skull inside. It was really deep. And subhanAllah, I picked her up and blood was flowing and I just put my hand on it, told my wife, grab your purse, leave the groceries and let's go straight to the hospital. And running through my mind as I'm rushing, driving the car to the hospital was people in Syria. Those children who are sacrificing their life, their time, their energy. They don't have a choice. They're stuck. They can't even leave. They want to leave the country. They can't. They're stuck. They're being surrounded. And you see them on TV with bullet wounds, with, you know, shrapnel wounds, with many different wounds and injuries, and women are being raped. And you wonder, you know, it gives me goosebumps just thinking of these people, what they're going through. And so we relate it back to this. We relate it back to this narration, where it is mentioned this person who sacrifices their time day all through the entire day with their sword in their hand fighting to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Definitely this person gets injuries. Definitely the person is wounded. Definitely they're tired, they're hungry, they're sacrificing everything that they have for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person not only is doing that throughout the day, but throughout the entire night, is spending the night standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spending the night standing in qiyam al-layl, in tahajjud you can say. Standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Him. And when the sun rises, he grabs his sword and he's back out there. For 1,000 months, for 83 years. Now you ask yourself, how can someone do that for 83 years? You have to remember the people of the past. When you study the stories of the prophets of Islam, the people of the past lived for hundreds of years. Nuh alayhi salam, for example, called his people for 950 years. In those 950 years, only approximately 80 people accepted his message. So the people of the past lived for many years. And so this person who carried their sword throughout the entire time the sun was in the sky, fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at night would stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 83 years. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this person who catches Laylatul Qadr is more beneficial than a person who does that. More beneficial than a person who does that, of that man. Sacrifices their time in the day and their time at night for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can single out one night or catch one of those nights throughout the 10 nights of Ramadan, the last 10 nights, and you will get a reward greater than that person who sacrificed 83 years, day and night, day and night, day and night, every single day for 83 years. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a better and deeper understanding of this. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that a person who catches this night, as Sufyan al-Thawri reports, that a person in the night of Laylatul Qadr who catches this is more beneficial in their deeds than someone who is to fast all day long and to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all night long for 1,000 months. It is more beneficial for you in this one night than to sacrifice every single day for 1,000 months, which is equivalent to 83 years as we mentioned earlier. Also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when the month of Ramadan came, he announced to the companions, he said that this month of Ramadan has come, a blessing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon you. He made it obligatory for you to fast, and in it the gates of paradise are opened to you. The gates of paradise are open to you. So you must fast. It's the month of Ramadan. The gates of paradise are open to you. But what does he mention as well? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the gates of hellfire are closed to you. They're closed. You're protected. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, "As-sawmu jannah," or "As-siyamu jannah," that fasting is a protection. What type of protection? The scholars mention many, many different categories of protection. But one of them is that it's a protection from evil, and also a protection from the hellfire. That fasting itself protects you. When you go outside during the entire year, for example, you're not fasting. You're the type of person that fasts during Ramadan until the end of Ramadan, but from the end of Ramadan to the beginning of the next month, for 11 months, you don't fast. Okay, which is common. Most people will not do that. Most people will not fast at all throughout the year. It is a very select people who fast a few days throughout the year. You're the type of person, for example, for 11 months, you do not fast. When you go out in the streets, you're walking down the street. For example, for the men, you see a woman, or you work in these buildings, corporate lifestyle, people dress very differently. You have people who are non-Muslim, who reveal a lot of their body, their skin, right? It is a fitna, it is a distraction for us. For the women, you go outside, you see things. For example, you might see, you know, beautiful clothing or a dress or something that you like, whatever it is. Everyone is different, everyone's created differently. These are only examples that we give. But you see things that attract your attention. And so it draws you closer to doing that. It distracts you from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in some cases it takes you into sin. But during the month of Ramadan when you're fasting, you feel as though you want to protect yourself. You know you're fasting, you're like, "Alhamdulillah, I'm not going to go out." Most of you now are sitting here. During the rest of the year outside of Ramadan, do you come and spend 1 hour here during your lunch hour? Do you come and you sit here and you read Quran or you listen to a lecture? You quickly have a short bite or some small snack to eat and then you go back to work after? Do you spend that time here? No, most of us don't do that. But we have an hour off. Either you come and you sit here and you benefit, alhamdulillah, you are chosen from amongst those that are benefiting, you're in a gathering, or you're sitting upstairs in an office or somewhere outside taking a nap or in your car sleeping for an hour. The choice is yours. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has handpicked each and every one of you to come and to sit here and to benefit from at least one thing. To learn something about this surah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He revealed to us so that we can change our life and benefit our families as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, "Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا." Save yourselves and save your family from the hellfire. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you to do. Don't feel as though you're sitting here and you're bored. Feel as though you have been selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were handpicked from everyone in these two or three or four towers that exist here, these buildings. You were hand selected from everyone to come and sit here. And that is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels are putting their wings, they're lowering their wings down upon you, protecting you even more. That you're fasting during this month, and that fast is a protection for you, yet the angels are lowering their wings upon you because you're sitting in a gathering of knowledge. And this is something that you have to take with honor. Feel good. Don't boast about it, but feel good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hand chose you, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to hand choose you, to select you from amongst those that can benefit on a daily or a weekly or a monthly basis, so that when you stand before Him on the Day of Judgment, you are from amongst those that are happy to be with those who are righteous. We move forward in this surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِم مِّنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to here? An abundant amount of angels have been sent down during this month. Now we just said the angels are showering or lowering their wings upon you. This is a hadith, an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For those that sit or attend a gathering of knowledge, the angels lower their wings upon them, protecting them. Just like a bird protects their little birds, you know, the little chicks, the little birds. The mother bird protects them by putting the wing around it. The angels are protecting you by lowering their wings around you. And so, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا, that an abundant amount of angels, as the scholars say, are protecting those that are fasting during this month, and those that are taking advantage of Laylatul Qadr specifically. وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا, and this ruh is referring to Jibreel. It's singling out Jibreel alayhi salam, that he is from amongst the most noble, showing the nobility of Jibreel. He is the most noble of the angels that comes down as well during these nights of Laylatul Qadr, or the night of Laylatul Qadr, in order to shower the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst us. Salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, peace. Salamun hiya hatta matla'il fajr. That this night is up until the dawn of Fajr, the break of Fajr, right? And so we should take advantage of these last 10 nights of Ramadan. Now, where is Laylatul Qadr? This is a question most people have. And a lot of people, sadly you will see that a lot of people single out the 27th night of Ramadan. They feel as though Laylatul Qadr is the 27th night. So whatever masjid you go to, Masjid Nagara, Masjid Wilaya, you know, masjid in whatever locality you're in, you will notice on the 27th night, it is jam-packed with people. Why? Why is it jam-packed with people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showed us that these last 10 nights are to be used entirely in seeking out the night of Laylatul Qadr. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked in many different narrations, when is Laylatul Qadr? And he said, look for it in the odd nights. And he mentioned the 27th night, and he mentioned the 29th night, and he mentioned seeing in a dream. He also mentioned, he said, to seek it in the night, the odd nights, the 9th, the 7th, the 5th night, the 3rd night. And he mentions a dream that he tells the companions, right? He tells them a dream that he saw, where he saw in it that it was pouring rain and his face had mud on it. And that was the night of Laylatul Qadr. And so the companions said that the roof of Masjid al-Nabawi was made of palm tree leaves. And when it rained that night, the rain came through. And they were praying behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were praying, and in that night, in the morning, at the end of the night basically, when they were about to eat suhoor, they noticed on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on his forehead and on his nose, there was mud. And they said that it was the 21st night. So there are many different narrations. There are many different hadith. So how do we know which night it is? If we look at this one hadith specifically, then last night was the 21st night. So we may as well just stay home for the next 9 nights, right? Wrong. We don't single out one specific night. We sacrifice every one of the last 10 nights. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another narration, when he was being asked by the companions, when could it be? And what are the signs? And he said, you know, the moon will be nice, it'll be cool, and then the sun will have a sort of reddish glow, you know, it'll be red, it won't be so bright. And there are many different signs that he gave to show that the previous night was Laylatul Qadr. But then he said, don't ask me anything more. Don't ask me anything more. Why? Because the companions were trying to figure out, which night is it? Can we know which night specifically? And when he called, when the Prophet ﷺ called the companions, come and dedicate these nights to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, I was told when Laylatul Qadr was, and I was made to forget it. He said, I was told when it was, and I was made to forget it. Subhanallah. Why was he made to forget it? So that we can sacrifice every single one of these 10 nights, knowing that on the day of Eid, you will have goosebumps throughout your entire body. You will feel happy, you'll get tingly on the day of Eid, because you would have these good thoughts inside of you, knowing on the day of Eid, I sacrificed these past 10 nights in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's guaranteed that I caught Laylatul Qadr. Imagine that. Everyone wants a guarantee that they can get Laylatul Qadr, but they don't know which night it is. So they come on the 21st, they come on the 23rd, they come on the 27th, they're not really sure which night it is. If you single out every single one of those nights to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're guaranteed to have received Laylatul Qadr. We don't see it this way. We see it as something that's very difficult. At the beginning of the month of Ramadan, we felt that the days were really long. We're like, oh, subhanAllah, the days are long to fast. It's really difficult. Alhamdulillah, in Malaysia, it's not that bad. Where I come from, in Montreal, in Canada, many parts of the UK, in the northern parts of Canada, in Sweden, for example, most of the northern hemisphere, the countries in the northern hemisphere, the days of fasting are extremely long. You know, I spoke to my father the other day, 18 hours of fasting in Canada. 18 hours. You go more north of Montreal, 19, 20 hours. In the UK, just under 20 hours of fasting. In Sweden, you fast all day long. I have a friend who I studied with in Medina. He was used to tell us, in Sweden when you fast, he's a new Muslim, he's like, subhanAllah, it was very difficult when my first Ramadan, he was saying his first Ramadan, you know, he was told we have to fast all day until the sun sets and then we can eat. He goes, how on earth is that possible? In Sweden, you know, the sun sets, let's say this is the horizon, so the sun comes down, it stays at the horizon for about 30 minutes to an hour and then goes back up. It never sets. So the sun comes down, the sky turns orange or purple like it usually does just before Maghrib, and then it starts to get bright again. He's like, how do we do this? These Muslims, they're like superheroes or like, you know, transformers or like robots. How do they do it? Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us ways where the scholars of those countries, they take care of it. But at the beginning of this month, we felt that it was really difficult for us to fast. The days are long and the nights are short. We would wish that the nights are short. So for example, in Canada in the winters, we fast for maybe 9 or 10 hours and the nights are really long. We can eat all night long. Fasting is a breeze. You know, it's minus 25 degrees during the day. You're not thirsty because it's freezing cold outside. You know, so you don't feel the heat or anything. But subhanAllah, it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have these short nights and to fast long days. Why? Because it only takes maybe a few hours of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to catch Laylatul Qadr. Imagine, you could catch Laylatul Qadr in some countries where they only eat for, let's say, 3 hours. It takes them 3 hours to benefit from Laylatul Qadr. 1,000 months over or more beneficial, better than 1,000 months standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a matter of 3 hours. Beautiful. How blessed is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How bountiful is He upon us. And before I finish, there was something I was thinking of. You know, it's the ultimate Laylatul Qadr. I was telling my wife last night, I said, imagine you board a flight. I fly a lot, but I used to board in London Heathrow and fly to Montreal. And I would leave London Heathrow at 3:30 in the afternoon, and I would arrive in Montreal and it's 3:30 in the afternoon because of the time change and because you're flying back against the time, right? And so I was telling my wife last night, I said, the ultimate Laylatul Qadr would be the one where you board a plane right at Maghrib time. And throughout the entire flight, for like 6 or 7 hours, it's night time. And you land, and it's the same time that it was when you boarded the plane. And you can still spend the entire night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she was like, yeah, true. That's really interesting. And then I said, wait a sec. But a night that's even more ultimate than that is boarding a plane, flying the other way around, where the night is literally really, really short. And you spend the entire night making dua and istighfar and reading Qur'an. And even better, you fly on Saudi Airlines, because you know they have a musalla or a surah on the plane. And you stand there for 30 minutes, and in 30 minutes you caught Laylatul Qadr, which is beneficial, more beneficial than 1,000 nights. So we need to try and think outside of the box. We need to try and use the wisdom that we have, inshallah. I'm not saying try and cheat. What I'm trying to say is, let's try and look at the bounties of Allah. How we said that it's difficult to fast for 18 hours, but as hard as it is to fast for 18 or 19 hours, Allah gave you the ability to catch Laylatul Qadr in maybe, you know, 5 or 6 hours. Whereas people who are living in Australia right now, or in South Africa, because they're on the southern hemisphere, they fast maybe, you know, 11 hours. I spoke to a friend in Sydney, he said we fast approximately 11 hours. They have to stand for 13 hours during the entire night trying to catch Laylatul Qadr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very bountiful, very merciful, and very lenient upon us as believers in His religion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to practice this deen and to catch Laylatul Qadr from amongst the last 10 nights of Ramadan, insha'Allah ta'ala. Please use these last 10 nights to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, my brothers and my sisters, do not forget to make dua for your parents. Wallahi, your parents spent nights awake making dua for you, whether it was Ramadan or not. Don't forget to make dua for the forgiveness of your parents throughout the nights of Ramadan. Jazakumullahu khairan wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.